This is Ozarks at Large for April 19th, 2012. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Iti Agnihotri Madholkar.
Support for KUAF is provided by contributing listeners and by Northwest Arkansas Business Journal, featuring transportation, public, and private trucking firms, plus local business news in Northwest Arkansas. The current edition is available at 725-0394 or nwabusinessjournal.com to register for daily business e-news or for more information.
Later on Ozarks, Michael Tilley from thecitywire.com discusses a problem for the plan to deepen parts of the Arkansas River and why good news for the local trucking industry may be good news for the economy. And we get a preview of the Arkansas Spring Riders Festival that begins tomorrow in Fayetteville.
First, these items of note. Governor Mike Beebe isn't mentioning specific companies, but he says two potential Chinese investors might be close to coming to the state. The governor met with reporters yesterday for the first time since coming back from a trip to China. He says his 12-day trip was successful and that a timber-related business is interested in southern Arkansas. And he says another Chinese company is retail-related and has interest in northwest Arkansas.
One of them is a very small initial investment that's just a foot in the water presence. The other one is a little bit bigger, that's more capital intensive in terms of its investment. One that's not very far along is one I'm really excited about in terms of the scope.
The governor says there is no timetable yet for the possible investors. He says he also may be going to France this summer on more state business. He says the French have shown an interest in Arkansas's agriculture and they would be paying for his visit.
Also, at yesterday's press conference, the governor told reporters he thinks the Arkansas Lottery Commission's controversial contract with its largest vendor is legal. Beth McAvoy has this report from Little Rock.
Beebe's staff attorney reviewed the contract with Scientific Games and found it legal, but Beebe says it doesn't make it right. The Lottery Commission approved the contract last week, despite the vendor having received, so far, $7 million more than was originally agreed upon, when former director Ernie Pasolet changed the contract without proper approval. Beebe says the Oversight Committee and the Lottery Commission may have given the former director too much leeway in an effort to get the state's scholarship lottery up and running. He said although there may be no legal grounds for the state, negotiations are the next option.
I hope the vendor will have enough sense to make modifications that are more favorable to our scholarships and more favorable to the state. That has to be obviously a voluntary thing, but you'd think the vendor, who has national reputation, would be interested in trying to accommodate.
Beebe says he has a meeting scheduled with Lottery Commission Chair Diane Lamberth to discuss the contract. I'm Beth McAvoy in Little Rock.
Time magazine is including Alice Walton on its latest edition of the 100 Most Influential People in the World. The founder of Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art in Bentonville was cited for creating a smart and aggressive art collection in a small town that the magazine says is destined to become a big art world destination.
The Environmental Protection Agency is issuing new regulations designed to reduce the amount of natural gas that leaks into the air around natural gas drilling sites. The EPA says the regulations announced yesterday will reduce smog-forming chemicals without slowing gas production. Catherine Beninati with the Arkansas Department of Environmental Quality says the full regulation will take effect in January 2015.
Right now, they're allowed to vent their gas, and by January 1st of 2015, they'll have to have a mechanism in place that will keep that gas from leaking, and that's called green completion.
She says the ADEQ is currently going over the full regulation to see if there will be any additional requirements on state gas producers. Beninati says 80% of the state's gas wells are operated by Southwestern Energy and that they already use the required green completion technology on their gas rigs.
Arkansas Senator Mark Pryor says he's backing a measure that supporters say would keep the United States Postal Service from financial ruin. The Democrat told reporters yesterday he likes the 21st Century Postal Service Act because it would freeze plans to close dozens of post offices in Arkansas.
Unfortunately, one of the problems that we're facing in our state is most of the areas where they're saying post offices should close, 186 post offices total, most of those areas don't have great internet access. And sometimes when you listen to the Postal Service, they're just saying, well, you know, people can go online. Well, for a lot of places in Arkansas, that's just not possible.
Senator Pryor says the postal reform bill would allow employee buyouts. It would restructure the agency's pension plan and allow a move to a five-day-a-week delivery schedule after 2 years of trying other cost-cutting measures.
The Fort Smith Convention and Visitors Bureau is hosting a tourism awards banquet tonight that will also serve as the opening of the movie lounge on Rogers Avenue. The business is a high-end movie house that will also serve food and drink. The awards being handed out for the first time are called the GRITS, standing for Giving Recognition in Tourism.
The Arkansas Razorback men's tennis team will open play in the SEC tournament tonight against Mississippi. Arkansas is 14-12 on the season and is the 12th seed in the tournament that is being played in Starkville, Mississippi. And the SEC women's golf tournament begins tomorrow at the Blessing Golf Course in Fayetteville and will last through Sunday. A practice round for the teams is scheduled for today at the course. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellens. With me on the phone from his office in Fort Smith is Michael Tilley. He is the editor at thecitywire.com. How are you on this spring Thursday?
I am well. I hope you're doing well also.
I am. Let's talk about the Arkansas River a little, shall we? There have been plans and desires to have a 12-foot channel further along the Arkansas River, the idea that more commerce could come through the river that way, but right now there is a hurdle.
Yeah, and as it is with many things, that hurdle is called money. And so what the problem is, the Arkansas River Project apparently is not a priority. I mean, it didn't even make a list of 50 projects for the Corps of Engineer. And the background is that the Corps estimates that a 12-foot channel, and it's at 9, it's guaranteed at 9, although there are many parts of the river that are at 12-foot. But the river is not like a road. You know, if there's a little spot in the road, you can drive around it. Well, if you have a barge load for 12-foot and you hit one of those sections that's not quite 12-foot yet, you have a problem. But a 12-foot channel is estimated to increase tonnage by about 45 million tons a year. And now keep in mind we haven't been that many close to tons on the shipped on the river, so there is some who say, well, the demand is not there yet to need it. But there are a lot of folks who say if it was 12 foot, that would increase the demand. It would increase the number of folks willing to locate facilities along the river. And as we've talked about before, I know Northwest Arkansas, you know, Fayetteville, Washington, and Benton County, they're not connected to a river, but a lot of the commodities, raw goods for construction, for example, come up through the river.
And if these earmarks didn't make a list, there's no idea of when there might be federal money for this project.
Right. And so, you know, it puts, for example, the GOP or the Republicans in Arkansas among the congressional delegation a little bit on the spot because they were the ones to rah-rah for this earmark ban. So now that they have this earmark ban, they can't turn around and say, okay, we don't want anybody else to do earmarks except for our special project here on the river. Sometimes we should be careful what we wish for. We just might get it.
Trucking profits have been somewhat healthy so far in 2012, and that may mean the economy is getting better?
Well, it's always a good sign. The trucking industry is commonly considered an economic bellwether. I mean, when trucking profits are doing well, when freight demand is up, it obviously means there's commerce. It means there's goods coming to and from manufacturing facilities, for example, shipped to retailers, replenishing inventory. And if you're doing all that, that means people are buying stuff, consuming things. And the last 4 or 5 years have been tough for the trucking sector. About the only trucking company to do well was J.B. Hunt, and as we all know, Hunt is really not a trucking company anymore. It's a transportation and logistics services company. But the sector is also important. I mean, it employs almost 7 million. It employed almost 7 million in the country last year. Industry consumed about 37.2 billion gallons of diesel fuel. That's a little bit of fuel. But so far, it looks like things are better. We have Lane Kidd with the Arkansas Trucking Association saying that he's hearing a lot of anecdotal evidence that freight demand is up and some of these trucking companies are up. The downside of that is because there's less capacity. There are fewer trucks in this system because we've had a lot of bankruptcies in the last two or three years. So it comes with a little bit of a mixed bag, as do many of the economic numbers we look at.
And trucking companies are still dealing with higher fuel costs.
Yeah, that's a problem. And I've talked to a few truckers, and they're frustrated. You know, about the time their margins improve, their freight demand comes back, there's some light at the end of the tunnel, then the fuel price just starts squeezing those margins back down for them. So it's almost can't win for losing. And I know David Humphrey at Arkansas Best, I think he gave us a quote that a lot of times it's two steps forward and one step back, which is better than it was. It was, one step forward and two steps back for several years for the trucking industry.
You know, two of the most talked about television shows on right now are called Mad Men and Game of Thrones. Any idea what title might be given to the upcoming television broadcasts of the Fort Smith Board of Directors?
I don't know. It could be You're Not Going to Believe This, Bleep. maybe it could be that. Or Thank God It's Back, or Here We Are Again. Who knows?
They will be on television.
Yes, they finally found some money, which I have questions about. I don't think – look, the Fort Smith Board of Directors, I think they got a little bit I'll just say it. I think they got a little bit petty when they lost the 1% prepared food tax. They felt that some of the people who lobbied against that tax had used the televised board meetings to rant and rave, and the city board apparently didn't have the leadership resources to be able to conduct a proper meeting. So I think they just reacted by, well, we'll just turn it off. And they'll argue that it was money, that they really had to find money to cut. But this was a small change deal. They could have found a lot of other cuts to make. But I think they've been pressured now enough to bring those televised. You know, once you do that, once you provide the courtesy or the convenience of televised board meetings, it's really hard to pull that away. And I think they've been pressured now, and they magically found $25,000. They'll say it's closer to $26,000. They'll say it's because sales tax collections are better. But they were trending better when they made the decision to cut it off. So. Yeah, televised board meetings are back.
And finally, there's an anticipated opening tonight in Fort Smith, right?
With the movie lounge. Is that
yes.
What we're talking about?
Yes.
Yes, that I can't wait to go. I talked to several people, talked to one of the technicians, Jeff Carter, who does a lot of the audio and video for that. And Jeff has put in, over the course of his years, a lot of very high-tech, cool stuff, and he says this is just far and away better than anything he's seen. But it's they're going to have a tourism award ceremony tonight, and the movie lounge, just, I guess, is a brief explainer. You can describe it any number of ways, but a high-class place to go see movies and have a meal or have a drink, and there's some private theaters. It's a new concept, and it's new not just for Fort Smith area, but for Arkansas and for many states. There are not many like it. So let's keep our fingers crossed and hope it catches on.
I'll expect a full report next week, Michael.
Okay.
All right. Michael Tilley is the editor of thecitywire.com. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Tom.
Hi, my name is Paul, your host for the Generic Blue Show, which airs every Friday night at 9 o'clock. Join me this Friday. We have two name brand interviews. We start with David Kimbrough Jr. and we end with Chris Cameron. Both of those guys came in and played in studio. And again, that's the Generic Blue Show every Friday night on KUAF. We'll see you then.
And Teresa Maurer is with me inside the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio. She keeps us up to date on local events surrounding food and agriculture. Welcome back, Teresa.
Great to be back.
Let's begin with a visitor who's coming early next month to Fayetteville. You're kind of excited about this.
Yes, I am very excited about this. The visitor is Michael Pollan. He is a nationally known writer and speaker on lots of food and agriculture issues. He's coming May 3rd to the Walton Arts Center. He'll be there in the evening at 7:30. That's first Thursday, but you can still catch him. And I am just so excited. I've gotten to see Michael speak several times. And he is just the most articulate, humorous speaker that you can imagine on these complicated issues of what should we eat, what is going on with the food and corporations, and what is – but not doing it in a way that's lecturing you only. He's trying to encourage you more.
If people don't recognize the name Michael Pollan, they might recognize some of the book titles.
Yes.
Omnivore's Dilemma comes to mind.
Yes, exactly. And actually, in Fayetteville here, we had a community read a couple of years ago for In Defense of Food. And then one of the more fun books, and again, I think it exemplifies Michael's style, is this Food Rules and Eater's Manual. And I've got a copy here that I'm sort of showing to Kyle, which you can't see on the radio, but it's this wonderful set of very short items about, you know, sort of guiding you, encouraging you to make certain kinds of food choices.
One of the most famous, and many people quote it now, and they may not even know they're quoting Michael Pollan, is don't eat anything your grandmother wouldn't recognize.
Right. And actually, that's one of my favorite ones. You can see I had it bookmarked here because I think that really just tries to get back to this idea of eating recognizable things that are as close to the source of production as possible.
He also suggests eat things only cooked or prepared by humans.
Yes, that's another good one. Right. And that kind of sets you back.
He's here May 3rd at Walton Arts Center. It's part of Artisphere this year.
It is. And again, don't think of it as an intellectual exercise.
That's Thursday night, May 3rd at 7:30.
That's exactly right. And you can find more out at the Walton Arts Center. Look for Artisphere there, and they'll have the schedule and the information about it.
There's another date that you wanted to make sure people knew about, and that's April 25th.
Yes. For folks living in Fayetteville, that's an important date. This is the date when the Farmers Market Nutrition Program, there's a senior vouchers program, and on April 25th, in Fayetteville at the Senior Center from 9 to 3, people will be able to pick up these vouchers. And what the vouchers do, this is such a neat link between helping people on limited income and some of our senior citizens stretch their dollars and also support local food at the same time. So these vouchers come in a coupon book, and they can be spent for locally grown fresh vegetables, fruits, herbs, and honey, and they can be spent at the farmers market. And even though I'm talking about Fayetteville, this is going on with a number of the markets in the region.
The umbrella organization here is the
Northwest Arkansas Area Agency on Aging.
That's right.
Yes.
So we're talking counties Benton, Boone, Carroll, Madison, Newton, and Washington.
Exactly. Yes. And again, there's been a big push with market managers to help make sure the markets are ready to accept these vouchers. So you'll pick up the vouchers in Fayetteville on April 25th, but then you can start redeeming them in May, and they're good through October. And all the markets are gearing up to make it as easy as possible for people to use these at the market.
Now we know in Fayetteville that you have to pick these vouchers up April 25th.
That's correct.
At the Fayetteville
Senior Activity Center. Mm-hmm.
You can then use the vouchers in May.
That's right, May through October.
There will be some sort of match.
Yes.
But we're not sure quite what that will be
yet. We're working out the match in Fayetteville, and so are the other markets. But what that means is those coupons can go a little bit further. So I'll be coming back to explain a little bit more about that.
And by use of the word senior, we're talking 60-plus in age?
That's right, 60-plus in age.
Any income requirements?
Yes, there are income requirements. So when you come to the Fayetteville Senior Center or any of the other local centers, be sure you bring proof of income and also bring identification. And the people will sort of explain what those limits are to you.
There is more information at the Northwest Arkansas Area Agency on Aging at AAA.org. We'll have links at OzarksAtLarge.com.
Great. This is a great program, and we are just so happy that it's kind of springboarding and you know, not just our market, but other markets in the area.
Weekday markets are beginning or have begun at some places?
Oh, yes. Weekday markets have begun. They actually began last week, and it's really been wonderful with the warm weather. We've had great variety during the week as well as on Saturday. And actually, the Saturday at the Fayetteville market was record-breaking. I mean, not just for an opening day, but for any day of the market. So we're pretty excited about that. But the weekday markets, and actually we're really trying to encourage these senior vouchers and some of the other programs to be used at the weekday markets. It's a little easier for us to process them and so on. But they're welcome anytime, but at the weekday markets especially.
Now, you sent me an email, a tip, and I'm going to share it now with other people
because
I benefited from this. You said strawberries are out?
Strawberries are here. They are here. And there are a number of vendors selling strawberries and asparagus.
Mm-hmm.
And so make sure you take advantage, because with the warmer weather, they've come on earlier, but we're not sure how long they're going to last. And there's also lots of other great things at the market right now.
And I know the Fayetteville market opened the day before Easter. Some others open later, but almost all of the area markets are now beginning to gear up if they haven't opened already.
Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, check in with your favorite local market, and we now have about 14 operating in our area. So that's big communities and small ones. So check in with them. They'll probably be starting soon. I believe by the end of April, all the markets are in operation. So.
Okay. Finally, a rumor that next time you come in, you're going to have a recipe?
Yeah, that's right.
You want to tell us what it's for, or are you just going to keep
us
in the dark?
Okay. I think maybe I'll just have you pitch one at me, and I'll tell you something.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Thank you, Teresa.
Okay. Thank you, Kyle.
It is Thursday, the 19th of April, 2012. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Iti Agnihotri Matholkar.
I'm Kyle Killams.
And with us is Becca Martin-Brown, features editor with Optus Arkansas Newspapers.
And thank goodness that sneeze didn't happen. Mm-hmm. Okay. Interesting stuff today. There's a tea tasting from 2 to 4 at the Peel Mansion in Bentonville. It's celebrating the newly renovated carriage house, and the tea tasting happens with Savoy Tea Company. It's $10, and you can call 254-3870 to find out more. Tonight, Broadway with a Kiss of Jazz, a concert by the Barbara Mashburn Scholarship Foundation Singers, happens at 7 o'clock at Clapp Auditorium at Mount Sequoia in Fayetteville. Tickets are $10 to $20. No Sex, Please, We're British is back on stage at the Rogers Little Theater. It is clearly a British farce about a bank manager whose wife orders things through the mail
accidentally.
She shouldn't have.
Accidentally. Let's cut her a break.
Accidentally. But it turns out poorly.
Yes.
And chaos ensues. 8 o'clock tonight, tomorrow, and Saturday, 2 o'clock Sunday. Tickets start at $10 at 631-8988.
All right. Thank you, Becca. Becca Martin Brown is features editor for Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
This is Ozarks at Large. The Arkansas Spring Writers Festival Middle Eastern Voices opens tomorrow in Fayetteville. The festival, sponsored by the University of Arkansas English Department and the university's Middle East Center, features free readings open to the public. Ozarks at Large's Katie Hendrickson talked with organizers of this year's festival.
Recently, each spring, the University of Arkansas Programs in Creative Writing and Translation has brought together a spring festival of writers, and this year's has a special focus. It's on Middle East Voices, and it's from tomorrow night through Saturday. Participating authors are Sinan Antoun, Rhonda Girard, and Sharnoosh Parsipur. Two of the festival's organizers, Padma Visnawathan, who is a professor of fiction in the creative writing department, as well as Joel Gordon, a professor of history, and the director of the King Fahd Center for Middle East Studies, came by the KUAF studios to tell us a little bit about the festival.
Last spring, I taught Sharnoosh Parsipur's wonderful novel, Women Without Men, to my undergrad students, upper-level undergrads. It's a literature course, general, you know, we read novels across the board, and my students loved the book. This is during the events of the Arab Spring uprisings, and it's a novel set in Iran. It's not, there's no direct connection, obviously, with the events of last spring, but it occurred to me what a wonderful entree fiction is to an intimate view of what was going on in the area, even if this wasn't exactly the novel to reveal that. I got interested in the possibility of bringing some other fiction writers here to get a different view on the region than what we tend to get in the news.
I come to these works. I mean, I'm a literature buff. I try to keep up as much as possible on world literature and especially Middle Eastern literature. But I also come to two of our authors through one, a documentary film that Sinan Antun was involved in, and an adaptation of Parsipur's Women Without Men, which I knew first as a film, which I screened for students and community members last year and again this year.
So, as I mentioned, I had been teaching this novel of Parsipur's, Women Without Men, and it has an afterword that in many ways is informative by a Berkeley scholar of, I believe, Middle Eastern studies. Do you know, Joel?
I think so, yeah. Persis I don't Karim. Remember.
But I found in various ways that the afterword was sort of marginalizing, that it suggests that this novel would be an excellent thing to study in classrooms where people are interested in issues concerning the region, whereas I had given it to my students simply because it's a great novel. So I just picked it up because it sounded like a good book. My students loved it without any context necessarily, and it occurred to me that books from this area are not sufficiently read simply as literature, and much more often read as keys to understanding the region. And there's no reason they can't be both, of course. And so I went to Davis McCombs. He's the director of the Creative Writing Program, the programs in Creative Writing and Translation, and asked if possibly our regular Writers' Festival that we have every spring could be expanded a little to include more than one or two writers and focused on this region, with the possibility of introducing all the great readers in Fayetteville, because there are so many people here who love books and are really interested in literature in the world, introducing them to some writers that they might not otherwise meet in this sort of context, a literary context. Having said that, we're also having a panel where the writers are going to talk to each other that will have something to do with both Arab Spring and the Iran Green Movement, I believe.
Right, so this is a confluence of interest.
Uh-huh.
And a nice first collaboration on a festival. They've been doing the festival over in Creative Writing Program for quite a while, and we in the Middle East Center have been, among others, bringing in writers off and on over the years. We have three people, who teach Arabic literature, and many of the rest of us use literature in our courses, so there's a lot of familiarity among our students for some of these writers and these traditions. But this is a nice chance for us to pool resources and, as Padma said, to make this a little bit bigger than usual. We had a great time trying to figure out how we could weave together three different writers and what approaches we should take, and I think it'll be a nice event.
Now let's talk about the authors that you've chosen and how you decided to pick those three authors.
Availability. the idea, I think, was that we wanted to look at writing from the Middle East and or from people with Middle East heritage, which is what we've got. And we compiled lists and looked into people's availability. We deliberately tried to touch upon as many places as we could in different traditions within the context of bringing three people in. And I think we've done that. We have one of the leading authors of certainly late 20th century Iran coming. Shahrnush Parsipur is certainly the leading female prose writer and one of the two great female names in Iranian Persian language fiction. And we have two young up-and-comers, Rhonda Girar, who's Arab-American of Palestinian-Egyptian background, has published one novel that's had tremendous success, and Sinan Antun, who's born in Iraq, came to this country in the early 1990s as an exile, did his advanced degree in literature, is now teaching at New York University, and is a multi-talented writer, poet, translator, essayist, and so forth. So we're touching upon three different countries, including the United States, two linguistic traditions, and people writing in three different languages.
One thing that was great for me when I approached Joel in Middle Eastern Studies was his agreement that these are writers who need to be brought to a wider audience and need to be looked at not only as representatives of the sort of geopolitics of their region, much as their writing is inextricably entwined with those, but also for their literary merit.
These people are each in their own way the products of intersections of global literature and cultural fusion or transformation. Each of the literary traditions that they come out of, if we call Girard, in a sense as an American-born, I think, coming out of literary traditions that have shared and intersected with other traditions, different generations. So I think that there will be a nice conversation about literature as well. And yes, politics is something that's on everyone's mind these days, particularly in the course of the last 2 years. Or so. And these are all writers who, in one way or another, are touching upon issues of ethnic identity, regional identity, gendered identity, and you can't separate that from the political structures that surround them.
I think it's really telling that the title for Rhonda's book was taken from one of Kafka's letters, that Parsipur is a huge reader of Dostoevsky and also of Chinese literature. And yet that Women Without Men is very much set against the backdrop of the Iranian politics of the 1950s, of the coup and its aftermath. Rhonda's book traverses the Iraqi invasion of Kuwait and the diaspora, particularly of Palestinians, that resulted, even though each of them, and Sinan Antoon's book pays numerous tributes to literary traditions that don't necessarily bear a direct relation to those that Sinan's book also pays tribute to various traditions that don't necessarily arise in the area where he was born. And yet each of these books, in other words, has various literary grandparents that now become natural to the places where their books take place, right? And so I think that the conversation, I've asked each of the panelists, each of the visiting writers, for questions for themselves and for the others, and they do deal as much with natural questions of writers, things about exile, things about representation, themes, as they do with what the writers specifically are talking about with content.
The Arkansas Spring Writers Festival Middle East Voices begins tomorrow night at 7 p.m. at the Global Campus, and it will continue all day Saturday with a 10:30 panel discussion in the Walker Room of the Fayetteville Public Library, as well as a 3 p.m. reading at Nightbird Books, and closing with a 7 p.m. reading in the Global Campus Center on the downtown square. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Katie Henriksen.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Iti Yagnihotri Matholkar.
If you like to race, whether on a bicycle or with your own 2 feet, spring is a very busy time in Northwest Arkansas and Western Arkansas.
Yes, we've heard from race organizers from around the region, and there is a lot going on.
If you are itching to run a 5K, there is one actually tomorrow night. We'll tell you about that in a minute. But in reverse order, what's coming up in the next few weeks?
Mm-hmm. The Spirit Challenge 5K run will be organized Saturday, May 19th at McNair Middle School in Fayetteville. The event is being presented by the school in partnership with Fayetteville Public Schools. Proceeds from the event will benefit Special Olympics of Arkansas. The event also hopes to raise awareness regarding health issues amongst students and provide them with learning opportunities. The Spirit Challenge 5K run is Saturday, May 19th from 8 until 9:30 a.m. Race day registration will begin at 7 a.m. The event will also feature a team challenge where schools, businesses, and groups can form teams to help raise money for Special Olympics. For questions or information, spiritchallenge@sbcglobal.net or 530-8084.
For cycling enthusiasts, the Joe Martin Stage Race will be held April 26th until the 29th. That takes place in Fayetteville. The race, formerly known as the Fayetteville Spring Classic, began in 1978. It's since grown into one of the top national race calendar and amateur cycling events in the country. It involves prize money of over $50,000 in cash, more than $10,000 in merchandise over the four-day, four-event pro elite category and two-day, three-stage amateur category races. Close to 700 athletes from 20 countries and all over the U.S. are expected to attend the race. If you want to know more about the Joe Martin, you can go to joemartinstagerace.com.
The third annual Autism Is Me, or AIM 5K Run and Fun Walk, is this Saturday, April 21st at Grace Point Church in Bentonville. The run, organized by the Northwest Arkansas Autism Support Group, seeks to benefit Northwest Arkansas families affected by autism. The proceeds, split into mini-grants, will help provide equipment, therapy classes, and educational opportunities to these families. The event this Saturday will take place from 7 a.m. until 1 p.m. Individuals can choose to run the competitive 5K race or participate in the 1 mile family walk. Pre-registration is $25 and is open until 6 p.m. tomorrow. Registration on the day of the event is $35. Over 600 people have already registered for the walk and 5K event. More information is available at aimwalk.org or nwaautismsupport.com.
The 2012 Boston Marathon, which was held Monday, was a bit harder than last year thanks to temperatures that hit the mid to higher 80s. The weather forecast prompted event organizers to send a cautionary email to participants prior to the event, asking them to consider dropping out. Fayetteville's Ben Putman, who participated in the event this year and the last, says the heat prompted him to slow down a bit.
So last year I ran 2 hours, 49 minutes and 3 seconds, and it was a cool 55 degrees with a slight tailwind. But this year it was about 87 degrees when I crossed the finish line. I ran 2 hours, 51 minutes, and 47 seconds.
Putman, who finished 252nd overall in the Boston Marathon, is also one of the race directors for Cow Paddy Run, to be held in Fayetteville tomorrow. The Cow Paddy is a historic Fayetteville run which was revived last year by Putman and Max Mailer. Last year, the event raised more than $6,000 to benefit the Fayetteville Public Education Foundation.
So the Cow Paddy Run benefits not only the Fayetteville Public Education Foundation, which distributes money based on teacher requests, but it also will benefit schools directly. Another thing that we're doing differently this year is encouraging the schools to attend and then awarding money to the school with the largest attendance. So whenever you sign up, you can choose the school that you want to run for, and then roughly 25% of all proceeds will go to the school that brings in the most people.
The Cow Paddy event also features an all-grass course this year, in addition to being organized by the Cow Paddy Foundation, a 501k nonprofit organization.
Online registration for the event is now closed. However, interested individuals can visit the Backrat Outdoor Center during normal business hours today for pre-registration or register tomorrow at the event. That'll take place at Gully Park in Fayetteville between 4 and 5:30 p.m. Participation fee for the 5K run is $25 and the 1 mile run is $10. More information is available at cowpaddyrun.com.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Iti Agnihotri Mutholkar.
And with us on the phone, not in the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio this week, is Jody Beznoska. She's Vice President of Communications at Walton Arts Center. Jody, where are you?
I'm in Tulsa.
Ah, and you were in Tulsa because you were telling the fair people of that city about Artisphere.
Yes, I just had a chance to go on television and talk to them a little bit about Artisphere, which was very cool.
Well, I suspect we might touch on some Artisphere things during our conversation today, but what else can you tell us about?
Well, I can tell you that our super busy week at Walton Arts Center continues. We have a very big night tonight. We've had two performances of Mary Poppins over the last couple nights, and it is such a fun show, full of kids and families, and just people are having a really, really good time with this show. So that runs through the end of Sunday. It's our last Broadway show of the 2011-2012 season. So there are five more shows to that, tonight at 7, tomorrow at 8, two shows on Saturday, two shows on Sunday. There are limited tickets left, mostly in the balcony or maybe some singles, but they are there. So if you really want to go, call the box office and they can help you find the best seats. That's going on.
Does anybody? I'm sorry, does anybody fly in this show?
Yes.
I thought so.
A couple times, actually. And then there's a wonderful... It's not exactly flying, but let's just say it involves tap dancing in unusual places. Moment that kicks off the first act, the first song of the second act, which is really, really fun.
Okay.
So that's Mary Poppins, and that runs through the weekend. Theater Squared's Fall of the House is continuing for another two or three weeks, I believe. Have either of you guys seen it?
No, I have not had a free night yet
really
to see it.
I really want to go. I've heard great things about it.
It is wonderful. I saw it on opening night, and I think it's probably one of the better plays I've seen at Theater Squared over the last, you know, 4 or 5 years. It's a really, really strong play. Very dense, very weighty, lots of sort of literary references and a lot of really great character development going on. So it's not exactly light and fluffy, but it is a very, very well-done show. It's everything from... The writing, which is, of course, done by Bob Ford, who is a professor at the university and the artistic director of Theater Squared, to the performances and the lighting and the sound. It's really something special. So I urge everyone to go see it. It runs for a couple of more weeks, but I have a feeling by the end of the run it's going to be tough to get tickets. So I would recommend going early if possible.
Okay.
And then tonight we open the AMP, the new AMP at the Arkansas Fairgrounds.
That's right.
Yeah, had the preview yesterday.
Yeah, and the venue looks fantastic. It doesn't hurt that it's beautiful weather, but it's really, really a different experience from those of you who have been to the AMP in the mall parking lot. You know, this is very different. It's out in a field. There's grass. You know, the tent is set over a concrete mixture, so it's still a hard surface, but it's not asphalt. It's white. It'll be much, much cooler when the hot summer days come on. But it really, really looks great. It looks like a place that you would want to go see an outdoor concert. And we're just so excited that it's there, it's open, and the first show is tonight. That would be the 90s band Cake.
Mm-hmm.
Then we will have Big Gigantic also on Saturday night out at the AMP. So a big weekend for us, for sure.
Well, that'll be fun.
Yeah, it's really great. And then next week... We will, like we talked about last week, we'll have a bunch of children's performances happening next week with a group called Visible Fiction. So we'll be doing a show called The Legend of Zorro, and we'll be bringing in 1,000 kids to see that. Fantastic. There's no public show of that, but it's a great reminder of how there's a lot that goes on at WAC that you often don't see when you come to the main shows. And then on the 26th, which is a Thursday, we will have a bourbon tasting. This is sort of a prelude to our Art of Wine Festival in June. That's at 6 o'clock. And then on the 27th and the 28th, we will have the legendary Glenn Campbell in the house for two shows.
Are there still tickets left for the second show?
Yes, there are still tickets for the 28th. And there may even be a few left for the 27th. So that's another example of, if you've missed it, give us a call because we might be able to, you know, we might be able to fit you in.
Okay.
And then also on the 28th, out at the AMP, we will have Hank Williams Jr.
That's
so,
right.
So, night for music on the 28th. And something to note about the Hank Williams Jr. show is that show is in a different configuration, so there won't be a tent for that show. I just want to make sure that everyone who has tickets to that knows that, you know, you're going to be sitting outside. There won't be a tent over the top of you because we have to build a bigger stage for music.
Oh, okay.
And that takes us through April. We actually have an event on the 29th called Listen to Your Mother, which is a produced event, I believe, featuring stories and narratives from local moms that they have written performing at the 2 o'clock on the 29th. And then the University of Arkansas will have a concert also on the 29th. The concert choir and the wind symphony and the concert band will play on the 30th. So busy end of April.
Yeah, indeed. And then you'll launch into Artisphere in May.
Yeah, and then May kicks off with a bang with Artisphere. Beginning on May 3rd, we have a series of events that you could probably come to all of them and enjoy them. So if you want to spend your entire weekend with us, we've got that for you. But on the 3rd, which is a Thursday, that's also the first Thursday in Fayetteville, we will be opening a new gallery exhibition in the Joy Pratt Markham Gallery, and we will have a free concert on the plaza featuring Threepenny Acre and also a Canadian fiddler named April Virch and her band. She's terrific. And then after that, we will have a conversation with Michael Poland.
That's right.
And Kyle will be our designated facilitator for that, which is so exciting.
I'm looking very much forward to that.
Yeah, Michael Poland is, of course, the author and journalist who has written In Defense of Food and The Omnivore's Dilemma, and he's very much into local and sustainable food practices. I guess that's the summary of his work. But he's a pretty interesting guy. I think it's going to be a really fun conversation. And that is just Thursday.
And tickets are still available for that?
Yeah, Michael Pollan is a ticketed event. That's one of the few events in Artisphere that you do have to purchase a ticket for. But there are tickets available for that show, all sections, and those are available at the Walton Arts Center website.
Okay.
And unticketed, we'll go up to Bentonville on First Friday, and April Virch will play again, but we will also have a award-winning bluegrass duo named Daly and Vincent performing up there as part of First Friday. And then Saturday and Sunday is probably my favorite event of Artisphere, and that is the Trail Mix Concert Tour.
And we're going to hear a lot more about that as we get closer.
Absolutely, but the short answer about that is that we will have 6 or 7 bands from all kinds of musical styles from all over the world. And they will play at locations along the Crystal Bridges trails up in Bentonville and along the Lake Fayetteville trail down in Fayetteville. Crystal Bridges one is on Saturday, and the Lake Fayetteville one is on Sunday. And these are free. You can walk, you can bike, you can bring your family and your dogs, and you can just experience music in these beautiful settings. It's really unique and really fun. And then Sunday after Trail Mix is over, as if we didn't have enough music, we'll have a free concert at the Botanical Garden of the Ozarks, a great kids band called Milkshake. That's all going on the first weekend of May.
And if you want more information about this, you can go to waltonartcenter.org.
Yep, you can go to waltonartcenter.org. You can call us at the box office at 443-5600. You can also go to artistspherefestival.org. That's the specific Artisphere website, and there's lots of information there about the whole lineup of events. I mean, the kickoff weekend is just the beginning. We've got dozens of other events happening over May and June, but I think the kickoff is enough for us right now.
All right. Thanks, Jody.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Don't forget to have your money ready for the turnpike.
Yes, I have been collecting change.
Very good.
So I'm sure to get through okay. Thank you.
Jody Wisnoska is the Vice President of Communication at Walton Arts Center.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday. It's the 19th of April, 2012. It's the birthday of the poet Etheridge Knight, born in Corinth, Mississippi, 1931, grew up in Paducah, Kentucky, dropped out of school when he was 16, joined the Army, was sent off to the Korean War, worked as a medic, suffered a shrapnel wound, and became addicted to morphine. He was discharged from the military. His drug addiction got worse. He lived hand-to-mouth in Indianapolis, where he met a man who went by the name of Hound Mouth, who liked to sit in the park and tell stories in meter and rhyme, making up stories about the flood of 1937, a dance hall burning down in Tupelo, Mississippi, the sinking of the Titanic. Etheridge Knight brought the man wine, listened to his rhyming stories, which he called toasts, and he learned to do the same thing, composing and reciting long poems, though not writing anything down. Etheridge Knight in Indianapolis stole an old woman's purse, and he was arrested, sentenced to serve between 10 and 25 years in the Indiana State Prison. And he became the prison storyteller. Every day, after dinner, Other inmates would ask for stories, and he'd recite whatever came to mind. He said, "Guys in the joint were my first audience. If you can play guitar or paint or say poems, you have an audience, and you get affirmed." I got a lot of support. The poet Gwendolyn Brooks saw some of his work, came to visit him in prison, helped him work through his poems, and his first book of poems, Poems from Prison, came out in 1968. It was on this day in 1927 the actress Mae West was sentenced to 10 days in prison for her starring role in the play Sex on Broadway, which she also wrote and directed, her first Broadway show. It got terrible reviews, the play, but it attracted huge audiences. Mae West said, "I wrote the story myself. It's about a girl who lost her reputation and never minded." It had been running for 41 weeks when the police showed up, arrested the cast and crew, though only Mae West was sent to jail. She was charged with producing an immoral show and maintaining a public nuisance. A few years later, she wrote and starred in the play Diamond Lil. She went to Hollywood, got a little part in a movie called Night After Night, and she was allowed to rewrite her scenes. In her first scene, a hat-check girl says to her, "Goodness, what beautiful diamonds," and West says, "Goodness had nothing to do with it, dearie." It was a big hit, and a few years later, 1933, she had her biggest hit, I'm No Angel, with Cary Grant. And by 1935, she was said to be the second highest-paid person in the United States after William Randolph Hearst. Here's a poem for today by Michael Ryan entitled Here I Am. On a subway station bench, next to two teens, one pretty, one not. The pretty one keeps saying how much she'll miss the unpretty one, kissing her cheeks, while the unpretty one looks down at her lap, saying, "No, you won't, no, you won't," until the train comes, and on goes the pretty one, still smiling, twirling her red plastic clutch, singing, "Goodbye, I'll call you," and the unpretty one just sits here like a stone, even after the train is gone, even after I write this down. A poem by Michael Ryan, Here I Am, from his collection This Morning, published by Houghton Mifflin Harcourt and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac. Supported by the Poetry Foundation, you can turn your iPhone or Android into a virtual poetry library with the Poetry Foundation's Poetry app, available to everyone online at poetryfoundation.org. Produced by Kathy Roach and Nick Vetter, be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
KUAF is proud to co-sponsor the 2012 Susan G. Komen Race for the Cure. This 10K and 5K race, plus a one-mile family walk, will be held on Saturday, April 28th at the Pinnacle Hills Promenade in Rogers. A pre-race pasta party will be held on Friday, April 27th. Race forms, pasta tickets, and more information available at komenozark.org or 750-PINK. And KUAF is supported by Community Clinic, serving as a medical home by opening access to medical care in Northwest Arkansas for over 10 years, helping neighbors lead healthier lives in Springdale, Rogers, Siloam Springs, and on the web at communityclinicnwa.org.
This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Springdale, Siloam Springs, Tuttle, a listener-supported service of the University of Arkansas J. William Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences, pursuing peace through education at arkansas.edu/Fulbright.
Tuttle, like that. Yes. Ozarks at Large, a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Iti Agnihotri Motoke.
Have a great Thursday.